feel like I want to sing, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." It's great to see the good fellowship here this morning. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and even though I haven't met most of you, because of Christ and our relationship to Him, we're part of that family, aren't we? As I travel around the world, and Kathy and I, we're responsible in Asia, but we also have connections in Jamaica and also in Europe and all over the world. We meet people and we meet believers in Jesus Christ, and they are brothers and sisters in Christ, even though we don't know them. We look forward to that time when we're together in heaven and we'll be able to know one another even more, and the experiences that we've gone through. I'm a missionary kid. I'm a missionary grandkid, as Tucker was talking about. My grandparents went to Jamaica in 1928. That's 91 years ago. And they were actually married in Jamaica, pastored in Jamaica, started churches in Jamaica. Just about 5 weeks ago, I preached in one of those churches. And as I was preaching, I said to the people, "You know that my grandfather is just buried in this churchyard right here, because he died in 1959, the year I was born, and is buried in that churchyard, Macfield Churchyard." Yeah, Macfield Baptist Church. And it's great to have that heritage. And I've been reading in my quiet time John, and I finished John, and then I said, where am I going to go next? And I went to Acts, right? That follows. And as I was reading Acts, "in Jesus' name" seemed to hit me, as though that phrase, in Jesus' name," all through the book of Acts. And so as a result of that, I want to focus on Acts chapter 3. But I want to talk a little bit about that "in Jesus' name," and also talk a little bit about my family. My name is David Smith. There are a lot of us around David Smith. Every once in a while I get pulled over at the border because they're looking for a David Smith, but it's not me. And I got that name from my father and mother, although my mother got that Smith name from my father, and then my father got it from my grandfather and my grandparents, that Smith name. And I praise the Lord for that godly heritage. Not all of us can turn to our family and say we've got a great spiritual heritage. And it's only by God's grace that I can say my grandfather and grandmother knew the Lord, were faithful, and as a result passed that on to my parents, my father, and my parents passed it on to me, and we passed it on to our family by God's grace. It's only by God's grace. I can remember hearing about my grandfather. He died the year I was born, so I did see him. He saw me, but I can't remember that because I was only a few months old. But they used to call, he didn't ever own a car in Jamaica. He had a horse, or he would use the mail truck, because there was a Royal Mail that would travel around all the different little villages, or he would take the train. And he had a horse up there in Newmarket, and he would ride the horse. But people tell me he was a gentleman, and he wouldn't whip the horse, but he would take the whip, he'd have a whip, but he would never use it on the horse. He would wave it in the eyes of the horse, so the horse would see the whip, and then the horse would go. And they used to call him Wave Stick Pastor, or in Patois, Wave Tick Pastor, because just a little story about that. I've got his journals, because they lived in Jamaica in the Second World War from 39 to 45, and he has his journals, so I read the journals. And one day that horse went missing, and it was missing for 3 to 4 months. He thought he'd lost the horse, and then they found it in Savlamar, which is probably 30 miles away, 4 months later. And so I praise the Lord for that godly heritage of preaching and teaching God's word, churches that were started in Jamaica by God's grace. And then as a result of my grandfather dying, My grandfather died in 59. My father went to the funeral in Jamaica. He was late for the funeral because they didn't know which airport to pick him up because they didn't have cell phones back then and you couldn't communicate very well. And so as he was coming up the hill to Macfield Baptist Church, they were filling in his father's grave. And he could hear the Jamaicans talking in the background. This is our next pastor. He's coming to take over for his father. They didn't think that he could hear them, but God used that to call my father to Jamaica as a missionary. And I was one when they went to Jamaica, so I went along for the ride. I grew up in Jamaica, and my parents started a church in Montego Bay, which is still going to this day, and the Bible College, which started in 63, so that's 50-something years ago, 56 years ago, Bible College still going. I was at the graduation just 5 weeks ago, preached at the graduation, and they had three graduates. Three graduates, and they're hoping for six students in September, but that's not enough to sustain the Bible College. And so they are praying in Jesus' name for 30 students at the Bible College. That's a audacious goal, 30 students. There's about 40 churches that are part of that fellowship, 40 Baptist churches part of that fellowship. God can do that, but it's going to take God working by the power of His Holy Spirit, answering prayer in Jesus' name. So interesting, just this past week, talking to a lady in Canada, and this lady said, I want to give $10,000 to the Bible College so that they can sponsor students. As a result of that $10,000, there will be probably eight students who can be sponsored as a result of that. And that may help. And we appreciate Tucker and Carrie and their involvement in the Bible College there as well. This church has been a blessing to Jamaica. I remember meeting Jerry in the car park of Cornerstone back in the fall of 98. So that's 21 years ago. And then we talked about a team to go, and you sent that team that Tucker talked about before. All done in Jesus' name, by God's grace in Jesus' name. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for my father who served there, and then the Lord moved our family in 71 to Australia, and so I grew up in my teen years in Australia. So I hadn't lived in North America until I was 17. And so I'm more Jamaican and Australian than I am Canadian or North American or whatever. And I praise the Lord for that godly heritage. My father died 23 years ago, and I was there when he died. I bear his name, Smith. And he was a pastor, and he was dying of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was in the hospital. We were missionaries in England, church planting in England. We came back. I came back to see him for the last couple weeks before he died. And I remember that, praise the Lord for that godly heritage. I remember when the doctors came around his bed. I was there. The doctors gathered around his bed, and they said, Mr. Smith, there's nothing more we can do for you. And I heard my father say, at the age of 7 in Jamaica, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven, so you don't need to prolong this anymore. And within a week, he was with the Lord. And I was there when he took his last breath and entered into the presence of the Lord. Godly heritage, and I praise the Lord for the name. I have Smith, even though it's very common. But it's that name and that heritage I praise the Lord for. And we have a heritage through Jesus Christ. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ through that heritage. And this passage of scripture that Tucker read for us talks about this amazing miracle. After Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the authority comes from Christ. And the Apostle Paul, they're going into the temple. It's 3:00 in the afternoon for prayers. And as they go into the temple, they see this man who is sitting at the beautiful gate. He's been lame since birth. He's over 40 years of age. Can you imagine? Over 40 years of age, lame since birth, never walked in his life, and expecting to get some money from Peter and John. And Peter looks at him and says in verse 9, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he is gloriously healed. This morning we've been praying for people and for healing. We believe in healing, don't we? And let's go to that next slide, Jim. There, because it's the first point here. If we can move to the next slide. You want me to try this? That's going backwards. There we go. There we go. There is healing in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? We believe that. We're praying for people here and people that aren't able to be here, the power of God to heal in His name. As we travel through Asia, it's amazing to see how God is building the church in Asia. And many times it's through prayer for healing, and people see that, and as a result of that, and see the working of God in His power, churches are planted. And so Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, James chapter 5 and verse 14, you'll probably get there in three months to 6 months from now, James chapter 5. But James chapter 5 says, "If any man is sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray." You have to find out what your pastor is going to preach on that. But I believe that God heals through the prayers of His saints by God's power. I've seen that happen before. When we were in England, a lady in the church, we went in her hospital bed and prayed for her. She had pancreatic cancer. And God healed her by His grace. Not by any power that I have. It's not my power. But in the name of Jesus Christ, God answers prayer. If we don't believe that, let's just pack ourselves up and forget meeting on a Sunday morning. If we don't believe in the power of God and the power of God to work in our lives from day to day. Matthew 7:22. I was thinking maybe I'd put this at the end of the message, but I think it fits well here. Matthew 7:22, Sermon on the Mount there. And Jesus says, "Many will say, come to me in that day and say, have we not healed in your name and cast out demons in your name and done great marvels in your name?" And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The important thing is not the power of using the name of Jesus. It's not an incantation or a superstition in order that we get what we want to see happen in our world. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Peter had that relationship. For sure he had that relationship. But this is after Jesus meets Peter on the shores of Galilee and asks again in John 21, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" There. To Peter. That's the Peter that denied the Lord. And it's interesting in verse 9 there, and it's interesting, Tucker, as he was reading, "Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not possess." The word "have" there in the English is more a possession. I don't have money. But what I do have, and that "have" is more of a relationship "have." Echo, the Greek word "echo" there. "What I do have, I give to you." And then he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." In the name of Jesus, there is power. Let's go on to the next slide. I think it's a picture. Kathy doesn't know I'm going to show this picture, but there's one of Kathy. And this is taken in Kathmandu, Nepal. This was back in February. We were there. And one day they took us around to about four different churches that they're planting there. We work with a fellowship of churches, Nepali-led churches. They have about 400 churches across the country. God is doing amazing work in Nepal. Many people are coming to know the Lord. Many churches are being formed. Their goal is to start 500 churches by the end of 2020. So they've got about 100 to go, and they're very close to doing that. And how is God doing that in this? This government's against them. Even within the last few months, there have been arrests of Christians there because they've been sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was the arrest of a Nepali, an American, a Japanese, and an Indian person. The American was deported within 24 hours. And so there's a fear about the missionaries there. How do we minister? But we went to this church. It's in one of the suburbs of Kathmandu, a church plant of this fellowship of churches. And we heard the story of the lady that's there on the left. When she was younger, that's her daughter there on the right. And her daughter went to a service, not even in that area, in a different area of Nepal. And as she went to the service, she shared that her mother wasn't well, and people prayed for her mother. And her mother was gloriously and miraculously healed. As a result of that, her brother and the lady's son is now the pastor of this church, started in Kathmandu, Nepal. That's happening all over the place in Asia. God working in his power, revealing his power in his name. And we praise the Lord for what he's doing there. Let's go on to the next one. Second, there, we are persecuted in Jesus' name. And I could say we are persecuted for the name of Jesus as well there. So persecution in Jesus' name as well. Look at chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. Because as a result of what Paul and Peter and John did, they were actually put in prison in chapter 4, verse 1 there. And they were put in prison, and then they addressed the Sanhedrin in chapter 4. And then in verses 18 and 19, it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Okay? We need to respect religious leaders. We need to respect our government. But when our religious leaders or our government go against what God's word says, we do what God's word says. Chapter 5 and verse 29 as well is mentioned there. Chapter 5 and verse 29, and I'll read that for you. It says there, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Now, I'm not happy with our Canadian government right now, but I still pray for our prime minister. I pray for the leaders that are in authority. We're commanded to pray for those people in authority. But if I'm told to do something against God's word, I have to do what God's word said rather than what my government might tell me to do. And I believe those days are coming in Canada. Canada's further negatively down the road than our neighbors to the south here. And it's only by God's grace. But we are persecuted. There's potential of persecution, and I think there already is. I can see persecution happening even in the churches in Canada today. But the persecution in the world is even far greater than what we are facing in Canada. And so I want to talk a little bit about that persecution in Jesus' name. We ought to obey God rather than men. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 says there, "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name." And when we come across believers in India and Nepal and Myanmar and Thailand, they're not afraid of persecution. They don't care about being persecuted because they say it's a blessing to suffer for Jesus' name. And I think we need to learn from that in our lives. Sometimes we even are careful about who we share the gospel to because, oh, this guy's a tough guy. I'm not going to share it with him. He's going to give me a hard time. I'll share it with this easier person. I remember, especially when I used to work in the grocery store and I came across unbelievers and I got to know them really well because I was working with them, the toughest guys were the ones that were most receptive to the gospel. We saw many people saved through that as well. So persecution in Jesus' name, and there is a persecuted church around the world, but God works in and through persecution to build his church. And God is working amongst areas. Let's go to the next slide here. I want to show you this slide. This is taken in Kathmandu as well. And the man in the middle is the leader of this group of 400 churches, and the mother church is there in Kathmandu. And as we met with him and the leaders of the church there, he said, Even now, some of our pastors are being put in prison for their faith because they're seeing people saved, and as a result of that, it's reported, and as a result of that, they put him in prison. He said, one of our pastors was put in prison, but they released him because he was leading people to the Lord in prison. You know, don't worry about persecution. Don't worry about being put into prison, because even there, just like the Apostle Paul did, he was leading people to the Lord. We are persecuted in Jesus' name, but let us count it as a blessing because we suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the all-powerful, almighty, all-blessing, blessed Savior. Let's go on to the next one. There is salvation in Jesus' name as well. Acts chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul here in verse 12 talks about that. Now, let me just talk about Matthew 1:21 there. Matthew 1:21, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are told by the angel, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So in Matthew 1:21, the word Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, and Jesus Christ came to save and deliver people. Well, what does that mean? I've lived in countries where there's lots of ocean all the way around, and even had the opportunity of saving people. And even last night we were talking to somebody, and they said, oh, those Canadians saved my father. And I said, I thought that he meant led him to the Lord. He meant saved him from death, okay? Because his father was traveling in some countries that were in negative to Americans. What does it mean to save? It's not physical, even though there is salvation, physical saving and healing, and there's salvation through eternal physical salvation in heaven. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's salvation in the name of Jesus. And then Acts chapter 4, verse 12 there, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. My brother went to university in Vancouver, University of British Columbia, and my brother shared with us once, he said, even though he went to Awana and learned, got the Timothy Trophy and professed faith in the Lord, and that's between him and God, he said to us, well, I believe that there are many ways to God. There's not just one way to God. There are many ways to God. Christianity is a way, but Islam is a way too, and Buddhism is a way too, and Hinduism is a way too. There are many ways to God. It's just that your sincerity and your path. Well, as we look at this verse here, the Apostle Paul says, neither is there salvation in any other person, any other name. Actually, he's referring back to that word name, because in verse 10 it says, let it be known to you all and all the people in Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. So he's referring back to that name. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's urgency there too. Let's go on to the next slide, and we'll work through that. Only one way to be saved, and it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way, and I believe most of us, all of us, would understand that and agree to that. Only one way to be saved. There's not many ways. There's not many religions. And so in our world today, 7.6 billion people, missiologists tell us that 3 billion of the 7.6 do not have an adequate opportunity to hear the gospel. Think about that. 3 billion people without an adequate... There are people in this city that don't have an adequate opportunity. No, they have never heard the gospel before, even in this city. You know, that's surprising because there are so many believers and Christians. But there are people around the world, 3 billion, that have never heard the gospel. So Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, just before he ascended into heaven, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And still, 3 billion that don't have an adequate opportunity. But we have the printed word. We have radio. We have internet. We can get on a plane and within 15 hours be on the other side of the world. And still, 3 billion have never heard. And I appreciate your missionary vision. You've been supporting Paul Wright in Jamaica for years and years and years, reaching people in Jamaica. I'm sure you're involved in that ministry as well and other ministries because you have a burden for the lost people of our world. Secondly, eternal separation from God in hell. It says there in verse 13, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's an urgency to the need of people trusting in Jesus Christ. Those 3 billion who have never heard, and there are many people in our world dying, many people being born. The population of our world is increasing because there are so many people dying, going to a Christless eternity without Jesus Christ. Eternal separation from God in hell. Why do I say that? And how can I back that up from these scriptures? Look at chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. So the Apostle Paul, when he's preaching on the steps of the Solomon's porch there in the temple, he's challenging the people. He says, for Moses truly said to the fathers, so their ancestors, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. This is Deuteronomy 18 he's quoting from. Him ye shall hear in all things whatsoever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. It's not just salvation in a physical sense. It's salvation, separation from God for eternity in hell, eternal separation from God. The urgency of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. The 3 billion who do not have an adequate opportunity to hear. Also, Acts 2:21, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's go to the next slide. The next slide is talking about a people for his name. Now, I am not Jewish. I think maybe 4 or 5 generations back, there's some Jewish blood in me. My grandparents were German-speaking from the Austro-Hungarian Empire there. But I'm a Gentile, I'm not a Jew. And the gospel first went to the Jews, and then it went to the Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 15 and verse 14, Simon says there, Simon has declared how, okay, so it's talking about what Simon says. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. There are people in Nepal who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Churches are being started. There's revival. We were talking today about Iran, and Iran's been in the news recently. Did you know that the fastest growing church in the world is the Iranian church? Many people coming to faith in Christ in Iran. God is calling out of the Gentiles a people for his name. Every people, tongue, tribe, and nation. And our brother here talked about one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue. Whether you've trusted Christ as your Savior or not, every knee shall bow. But God is calling out a people around the world, in Jamaica, in Australia, in Nepal and India, and Myanmar and Thailand. He's calling out a people for his name. Do you believe in the power of God to save? I believe in that. The power of God to heal. The power of God to preserve in persecution and difficulty, the power of God to call out a people for his name. I believe in that. I'd encourage you to strengthen your faith in that and then go out and be involved in whatever way you can in reaching people with the glorious gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that somebody told us about you and about Jesus Christ and the way that we can have to salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the forgiveness that you bring in the faith of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you that you're working and there's power in your name. Thank you that you're working in our life, and we just trust and lean and depend upon you by the power of your Holy Spirit to work in our lives as we know you. If there's anyone here that does not know you, Lord, that they might realize there's power in the name and they will call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We give you the glory and honor and praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.